probably forgot a lot of it, so we're going to start through it again. Just kidding. We are going to do something I like to do occasionally when I'm in between series. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. We're going to dip into Psalm 119. I got a couple of ideas I'm thinking about. Maybe going through the book of Esther. I did that years ago and wrote an outline. I'd like to write an exposition of that book. So I may do that for Sunday school. I'm thinking about reprinting a book that I wrote years ago that I took T.P. Simmons' Systematic Theology, and I made it to where it was more like an outline form, put it in 8.5 by 11 with a spiral bound so that people could use it for teaching and other things. And I'm thinking about going through that again. The only problem is that's a pretty lengthy study. Starts with, you know, what the Bible is, who God is, the person and work of Christ, person and work of the Holy Spirit, of God the Father, the work of salvation, sanctification, and every aspect of salvation, regeneration, justification, sanctification, glorification, all the vocations that are in there. And then it goes through about the Lord's church, eschatology. So I don't know, that'll be a kind of a lengthy study, but you're probably up to it. I don't know if I am, but I'm sure you are. But anyway, if you would turn your Bibles to Psalm 119 this morning, and we're going to look at verse 61. Let's read verse 60 just to get a little bit of context here. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. What a great resolution to have, that you're going to make haste to keep the commandments of God. That you're not going to procrastinate. Now, it's interesting, by way of contrast, in verse 61, here David is serving God, keeping God's commandments, walking after His ways, doing what's right. And it says in verse 61, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. You know, even though you're serving the Lord, and you might be doing right and living for Him and being obedient, it doesn't exempt you from the trials and the tribulations that people face in a fallen world. We need to remember that, because people who are false professors of religion, usually when the first bad thing happens to them, they are, you know, maybe a series of bad things, and they, what good is this? I'm giving up on that. I tried to serve the Lord, but everything was against me. Listen, you're going to have trials in this life. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, David, he's on track. He is not delaying to keep God's commandments. He loves them. But even he had to deal with the bands of wicked men who robbed him. I'm telling you something, our world, the world in which we live, is one that is filled with wicked men, wicked women who hate God, who despise His truth. And sadly, it appears to me that this mentality of stealing what belongs to other people is becoming more acceptable. You know, the Bible makes it very clear in one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. Now, another commandment related to that is, thou shalt not covet. Because a lot of times stealing starts with a covetous attitude, a desire after that which you don't have that you're willing to do anything to get. It becomes an idol. And the world in which we live is increasingly becoming hostile to the law of God, to the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of His Word. But it was that way in David's lifetime as well. As long as there are sinners, you're going to have people that are bent on breaking the law. Now what's sad is, in our society, people in authority are actually starting to justify breaking the law. In California, okay, you can actually go into a store and steal up to $1,000 according to their state law and their district attorneys and the way that they have it set up, and not be charged with a crime. I mean, $1,000 every time you go in and pilfer something. And they're trying to normalize theft in 2020 when there was so much unrest. I think there were 571 riots in different places in 2020. And almost every one of those riots involved breaking into businesses and people stealing, taking that something that didn't belong to them. And the media, our society, in fact, I think it was the mayor of Baltimore said, you've got to let them get it out of their system. Go ahead and let them loot, let them steal, let them thieve. And you know what? I fear that that mentality has really been ingrained in a lot of people in our world today. Think about this. Most people never even, they don't have a reference point at all to the commandments of God. It's not taught. In fact, the law of God is forbidden. And they want to remove the moral law of God from every public space. Certainly it's been removed from the schools since the 60s. And this idea of stealing, thieving, looting is starting to become more. You can't have a civil society when you glorify theft. It's just wrong. But this is where we're at. And it's really telling as to what When you take away God's Word and replace it with the philosophy and the ideals of depraved, sinful men, you are never going to get a good result. And you reap what you sow. You take the commands of God out of society, you're going to reap a whirlwind of lawlessness and chaos. And that's where we're at. It's that way nearly everywhere in our world today. It's filled with people who have no qualms whatsoever about breaking God's laws. You say, "Preacher, are you a legalist?" No, I'm not. I don't believe you can be saved by keeping the law. But when a society has no reference point for truth or for righteousness and virtue, you're going to fall into disrepair. The wicked. He said, "The bands of the wicked have robbed me." Now, I don't think I've ever been robbed. I don't think anybody, and I'm not going to give anybody my address, but I don't think anybody has ever broke into our house and stolen. Oh, you know, we had kids stay at our house all the time. They might have taken a belt or a pair of jeans from one of our kids. That's not a big deal. But I'm talking about people breaking in and stealing everything you got of value. It happens. We were door knocking. I don't know what road it is. And I think I told this story a few weeks ago. But we were door knocking, going door to door, talking to people about the Lord. And it was not Charlie Creek, but the one, I think it was Sandusky, that holler back there. And I remember going up to this guy's house, and I knocked on the door. He come to the house, and he had his gun pulled. And I said, I'm glad to see you. You're a believer in the Second Amendment. And he said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I came to preach the gospel." And he came out, and we started talking. But he told me, he said, because of the drug the issues in our community, you won't believe how many people have broken into houses. Now, our church has been robbed. Twice. I think somebody broke in here before I ever got here, but I got so mad. I was mowing grass one day here at the church. And I'm just mowing along, and all of a sudden I look over, and the entire package unit of the heating and air system was just torn apart. Somebody had broken, had tore that thing apart and stole the copper out in order to get turn it in and then to buy drugs. I can remember I got so mad, man. As I was mowing the rest of the grass, I started thinking, I'm gonna stay here with a gun. I'm gonna shoot them in the leg or something. When they come back again. And then I thought, well, they won't come back because they've already got everything. Well, here's the bad part. We got the thing fixed and replaced, and they did it again. So we had to call it in on our insurance twice. Probably raise the insurance. For just what? $50 worth of copper? This is part of our society. And it's sad. For many, it's a trifling thing to break the commandment which says, "Thou shalt not steal." Why do people do it? Because they don't believe God's Word. Or they've never been taught God's Word. David had been robbed of some earthly treasures. But what amazes me is it didn't seem to ruffle him too much, like it did me when they stole from our church. It says, "The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten my law." Now this is a good principle here. You can't control what other people do. You can only control what you do. So David says, "Yeah, I've been robbed, but I have not forgotten thy law. I am going to continue serving, obeying, believing, trusting, depending upon God to make it right." And it tells me that his treasures were not merely external possessions which are subject to loss. His treasures were bound up in fellowship with God through prayer, the Word, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it goes right along with what Jesus said in Matthew, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth cannot corrupt and thieves can't break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." We need to learn that. You see, these heavenly treasures, the things that we invest in, are secure and can never be taken away from the people of God. What you have in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, they may be able to steal your earthly possessions, but they can't steal what's going to live on throughout all eternity. That's why it's so vital to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve Him and honor Him and walk with Him. We can afford to lose earthly riches, but we can never afford to lose our communion with the Most High God. Let's be careful to teach our children and our grandchildren personal responsibility, honesty, obedience based on the truth of the Word of God. And teach your kids early that it's wrong to steal. Thou shalt not steal. Teach them early that it's wrong to lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. In the most adverse circumstances, we must see where our real strength is found in Christ and the Word. Now, I hope nobody here has their house broken into or their car stolen or anything like that. But those are things that can eventually be replaced in this world. But they can't steal what is eternal. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so impressed with David's attitude. You know, a lot of people, when they're faced with this kind of adversity, they begin to question God. Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to my family? And the reality is, this can happen to anybody in a fallen world. You and I that are saved, that are washed in the blood, that have the promises of God, that have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Lord's church. Those are the kind of riches, spiritual riches in heavenly places that'll keep you and I strong and faithful. So whatever you do, don't forsake eternal things just because you've lost some earthly things. Now, he said, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. I think of David's own son. You talk about a lot of chastisement that David experienced. I've said it many times. The laws of sowing and reaping are always in effect whether you're lost or saved. David did something that was infamous that everybody that knows anything about the Bible will point to. And he was forgiven of those sins, but the scars were there the rest of his life. And one of the prominent ones was Absalom, when he attempted to steal the kingdom from his own dad. Now that's about as wicked as you can get. When your own flesh and blood plots, plans, and then executes stealing the kingdom from his own father. Now I don't know when this was written, Psalm 119. Probably ought to find that out. But I do know this. His own son was a thief. And he was judged for it. He lost his life. The wicked will not only try to steal earthly things, but they'll also try to rob the righteous of spiritual graces, such as joy, long-suffering, and humility. See, that day I was mowing grass and I found out somebody had stolen our copper. My first thought was vengeance. I hate that I got to admit that. But that was my first thought. I'm going to get those guys. And then after a while, I realized, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But I came up with all these ideas, like that I was going to put a sign on the next one says, this is all wired up, so if you try to get in here, you'll be electrocuted to death. And then I thought, you know, these guys, they know what they're doing, and they know that that's not possible. Even though I did ask Rod Gamble if there was a way we could do that. There's no way of doing that. But that robbed me of some spiritual peace that day and joy. And I let it get to me. How do you combat when the wicked try to steal your joy, your peace? It's through meditation and prayer. What I should have done that day is instead of thinking up all the ways that I could find to bring vengeance on their head, I should have just started thinking about the Scriptures, praying for their soul. Hey, when you're mad at somebody, you're really upset at what they've done, start praying for them. It really convicts you. It changes your whole outlook. You start thinking, well, why did they steal like that? Why did they... And I knew what it was. It was drugs. And then it just brought me back to remember how I never was so addicted to drugs that I had to steal to fuel my habit. But we're living in a day and age where the drugs are so potent. Heroin and fentanyl and the opioids that were so freely flowing, they're so addictive and potent that, and I tell this to my kids and my grandkids, I've heard that just one time with fentanyl, you're done. You're addicted. So I try to think about prayer and meditation. Keep your mind on the Lord, and you won't have your joy stolen, your peace stolen, because it's not in things. It's in Him. That's verse 61. God bless you. We're dismissed.